Welcome back, Sava FC community. This is Antonio, and as always, I'm here with Anthony.
Hello, everyone. Who's ready for the celebration? Week one is done for four of the five major leagues.
Well, three, technically. One league is already into their second week.
That's true. Transfers we have coming up. We got till the 31st.
Right. August 31st is the deadline for transfers, and it looks like there's still going to be a lot of shakeup.
Oh, there's going to be a lot. There's one in particular that I had mentioned a couple weeks back that you thought wouldn't happen just because of the dollar sign, and it looks like it's going to happen.
And which one is that you're talking
Harry
about?
Harry Kane.
We'll see about that.
The best thing to happen to Harry Kane was Tottenham winning 1-0.
So before we dive too deep into all the specifics, on today's episode, we're going to be catching up on some of the transfer stuff that we may have missed because of the big messy news that did give us, we focused a lot on that. And then we're going to touch on the major leagues and how they did in their first match day back.
Sounds like a plan.
So starting off, a little bit before the Messi signing happened, which was on August 10th, did you know that Atalanta acquired another defender?
They did.
Demiral from right. Juventus.
Atlanta acquired a couple guys, not just him. They also acquired...
transfer window, yeah. But I think Demiral's a huge addition for them.
Yeah.
Especially after loaning out Romero.
Yeah, and they loaned him out when?
Romero?
Yeah.
I think it was a day or two after they signed Demiral. Which, that blows my mind, though. Because you bought Romero from Juventus. Because he was voted one of the top defenders of Serie A last season,
yep,
just to loan him out to another squad.
Which is weird.
It's so weird. I don't understand it. If he fits the system, you know, Gasperini always praises the system that he coaches. Why would you get rid of one of your best players? And it's not like they sold him for money. Yes, there is an option to buy on that contract, that loan contract, but you didn't make any money off of him right now. So why sell him?
Don't know.
Blows my mind. Josh Sargent.
That's right.
One of the USA own.
Yep.
He ended up going to Norwich City.
Norwich, yep.
Yep. So that was exciting right there. Mattia Caldara left your AC Milan for Venezia.
Venezia's making some moves. You know, they come up to Serie A and they're moving. They want to make an impact.
They want to stay up.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the Benevento that comes up to Serie A just to go back down to Serie B next season.
Right.
So, listen, I respect them for that. I don't know if it's going to work out, but it seems like they're signing the right players.
Yeah, they got a nice young team.
Did you watch the game the other night for Coppa Italia with Venezia and Frosinone?
No, I couldn't get it on.
So, Venezia and Frosinone actually played a really good game. Ended 1-1, regular time, extra time.
Yep.
And ended up going into PKs. Venezia ended up winning 8-7 on PKs. Kind of a heartbreaker, though. One of my favorites, at least, the American, Tanner Tessman, ended up missing his PK.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was a little upset about that one.
Did Gianluca play at all or no? Did he get a chance? Or was it still too soon before?
It's a good question. I don't think he played, but I could be wrong.
Because usually they'll wait a couple of weeks once the transfer's over. They get, you know, some touches on the training.
Right. Well, like speaking of waiting, it's like, you know, the big team signed Messi and we haven't seen him play.
No.
Chelsea signed Lukaku and we didn't get to see him play. So you're right on the waiting. Yeah. I just don't remember if Buzio played or not. That's something we'll have to look up for the second half of today's episode. But, you know, those were some exciting moves. Then we also have, we talked about Messi. Obviously, that happened on the 10th. We had the outside back who ended up going to Inter. Why can't I remember his name right now? Dumfries.
Oh, Dumfries.
That's what I was thinking about. So Dumfries left PSV Eindhoven and went to Inter. So that's to replace Hakimi, which I think is great. And then they made another big signing, Inter Milan. Edin Dzeko from AS Roma.
Right.
Somebody had to replace Lukaku, right?
Yeah.
Is a 35, 36-year-old striker going to be the answer, though?
No.
You don't think so. I personally like Dzeko. I think he might have some gas left in the tank and, you know, getting out of away from Roma might be beneficial.
You think he's another Ibrahimovic?
I don't know if he's Ibrahimovic, but I will say this. Dzeko, forget last season, but the one before that, he had a phenomenal season.
He did. He did.
He could still be a difference maker. Get him the ball in front of net, and this guy can make the difference.
You know, with his experience, too, he's going to know where to be at the right time.
I mean, I don't know if he's what Inter needed, but they definitely got a quality player in him. And then, obviously, since Edin Dzeko ended up leaving Roma, Roma's got to go after somebody.
Right.
They picked up getting Tammy Abraham.
Right. From Chelsea.
23 years old.
Yeah.
This guy could be the future. And you know they're serious about this guy because it wasn't a loan deal.
Right.
They flat out bought him for $40 million.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
It is.
I just hope that with all this shakeup in Serie A, we still get to see quality on the pitch this year.
I think we will. I think. But, you know, we're also going to have those big drop-offs. We're going to have those weaker teams that it's just going to be very boring to watch.
I hate to say it, but you're right. And Lukaku said it best because they interviewed him after leaving Inter for Chelsea. He said, I didn't hate Serie A. Serie A is a very tactical league. But what it's lacking is the intensity of the Premier League.
Right.
And we saw it this past weekend with
every game.
There were no ties.
Every game that was on was exciting to watch. Every single game.
First of all, absolutely. But secondly, the Premier League was one of the only leagues, was the only league that had no ties.
Right.
That's where the intensity comes in.
Sure.
Everybody plays to win.
And listen, if you really think about it, and you look at all five major leagues, I believe the Premier League, across the board, has the most talent in their league, spread out through each individual team. It's not a, you don't have a concentration of two or three teams that are super elite players, like
right.
PSG, like, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juve, Inter, AC Milan. You know what I mean?
It seems like every league has their one top team.
Right.
But in the Premier League...
You're always going to have that.
But in the Premier League, you can't say that. Because right off the rip, I mean, after what we saw this weekend, I don't know if I'm even going to throw City up there anymore. But in my head, I always had Man City, Liverpool, and Chelsea.
Right.
For right now, those three, they're so, you know... They're not that far away from one another.
After watching this weekend, for me, once Lukaku joins Chelsea, I think they're going to be the powerhouse there. I, you know, it's just across all three sectors of the field, they're going to be unbelievable to watch.
Here's the thing. Granted, Chelsea played Crystal Palace, okay? It's not like they played any great quality team. However, they looked phenomenal.
They did.
Can you imagine when Lukaku finally enters this lineup?
And not only imagine when he enters it, have you seen what he looks like? He looks like he lost 15, 20 pounds and now he's just a solid piece of trim muscle and he's ready to unleash.
He's ready to go. I mean, Lukaku did drop some weight going into last season with Inter as well, and we showed him made the difference for him at Inter. I love his comeback story though, because I feel like Manchester United, at least, didn't appreciate him as much. He started off at Chelsea, and he felt like he wasn't a Premier League player.
Right.
I hope he's got enough under his belt now to come back and smack all of his critics in the face and say, look at what I can do.
Exactly. I mean, listen, think about this. You have Mendy, Jorginho, Mason Mount, Pulisic, who's probably going to be fighting for some playing time. Now Lukaku.
I don't know. Match day one, Pulisic scored.
He looked like he was a man on a mission, and they're talking about him everywhere, saying that this is going to be his breakout year.
He's the future. He's the future. I think Chelsea was, you know, when they first signed Pulisic, everybody was like, I don't know if he's going to work, because Borussia Dortmund has that thing where they just elevate their young players, right? Like, think about what Gio Reyna's doing over there, Erling Haaland, obviously. So they always elevate their players. Even Sancho,
right,
who's now at Manchester United.
Right.
They do great things with young players. But will it transition to the Premier League? Guess what? Chelsea was right about Pulisic.
Yeah.
It's working.
So since we're in the EPL here, do we want to talk about some of these exciting games that happened? Or do you still want to touch on these transfers that have been going on here and there, sprinkled over like salt and pepper, hidden behind the big messy transfer over to PSG?
So there's one thing that we do have to bring up because we made a post about it. There's a little rumor flying around right now.
Small
rumor, but it could be possible. They're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo joining Messi at PSG.
So here's my thought process on that. I would have loved to have seen Messi join Ronaldo at Juve or at Barcelona. I don't want to see him join with the rest of those.
Why?
I feel like it's going to ruin soccer in France. You're only going to see PSG win every single game. All these other teams aren't going to be able to play.
More than what they've already ruined? Come on. I mean, the squad is there.
Somebody's got to step in and stop these guys from doing what they're doing, I think.
But you got to remember one thing. If Ronaldo does join, it's because somebody's leaving. And that person leaving is Mbappe.
Right.
So who's more beneficial, Mbappe or Ronaldo? Because call me crazy, I'd take Mbappe over Ronaldo any day.
So now that you say that, and it took about 3.5 seconds to register in my head, he goes over there, correct? If he goes there, if Ronaldo goes to PSG, right. Well, Mbappe leaves.
Let's talk about this for a second. Where else can Ronaldo go? Juve wants to get him off the books.
Right.
There's no surprise to that.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't afford his wage anymore. Ancelotti said, I love Ronaldo. He's a legend, but there's been no discussion on bringing him back.
Right.
Okay. In the Premier League, nobody's going after him.
No, nobody's going
after him. Nobody's interested, right? No. It was all, he's going to go back to Manchester United and make his return. That's been shut down.
But let me get back to what I was saying, because you said something, my wheel started turning. Mbappe leaves, Ronaldo goes to PSG. They're going to be making more money on AARP benefits over there. Because think about it, those players are going to be ready to retire. PSG is going to be in trouble. They're going to be, they might end up being in that situation in Barcelona's on. Yeah, I know you're going to say no. I know.
No, it's not about that. The obviously they might be in some financial trouble. I don't know. Although I'll be honest, I was looking up the 10 most teams in debt, most indebted teams. I didn't think I saw PSG on there.
No, they're not going to be on there. They're
Barcelona's up there. Tottenham's up there. Tottenham's number one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and Barcelona was number two. We'll actually pull that up after the break so we could let our listeners hear. But I think PSG will be okay. But if you get the chance to bring in Ronaldo, even though you're sacrificing Mbappe, because there's no surprise Mbappe wants to go to Real Madrid. Hell, I'd want to go to Real Madrid if I was a player good enough quality. You know what I mean? Everybody would love to play for Real Madrid.
Right.
The Galacticos. They have so much history. And they win a lot. So.
Sure.
Mbappe's been at PSG, what, 2-3 years? Hasn't won anything?
No.
He won a Ligue 1 title. That's it. Played in the Champions League final.
And then last year lost to Lille.
Yeah, that still blows my mind. I think the move would be nice to see. I'd like to see that super team. Just 1 year. 1 year, that super team take the field. Because listen, we've all built these teams on FIFA or Football Manager or Pro Evolution Soccer. Why do we build these crazy teams?
Because we want to see it. We want to see it.
So I mean,
take me for example. I'm managing Chelsea. I have Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo. I have them on the team.
So why is it so hard for us to want to see this in actual soccer? Just once. Let us see it just once. I want to see if the team can actually do what we think it can in our heads.
Do you think it can do what we think it can do in our heads?
Absolutely. I think first of all, I already think with Mbappe there, as I've said, I think Mbappe is a better fit for that team right now than Ronaldo is. With Mbappe there, they're already going to win everything. Now, if they switch Mbappe and Ronaldo, what they're doing is they're gaining a winning mentality and experience.
Right.
And they'll still continue to do the same things. But it will hurt them in the long run.
Right.
Not having Mbappe in the long run will hurt PSG.
So, breaking news. Top 10 teams that are in debt. This is a outdated.
Yeah, you pulled up a very outdated list. I got the one right here.
Go ahead. Go for it.
All right. So you got Tottenham in debt with 1.2 billion. Barcelona in debt with 1 billion. Atletico Madrid in debt with 804 million. At fourth, you got Manchester United with 771. Then you have Inter Milan at 757. Juventus at sixth with 752. Real Madrid at seventh with 651. Arsenal at eighth with 405, which Arsenal blows my mind because you literally have nobody left.
Right.
That is crazy.
That might be debt from years past.
Probably.
Piled up on top.
The fact that you are the eighth most indebted club and you just lost 2-0 to newly promoted side Brentford, that's a problem in my eyes. But moving on. After Arsenal, we have Liverpool at ninth, 386 million. And then at 10th, we have Everton, $353
million. Wow. Okay.
So those are the top 10 clubs in debt. It's an issue.
That is.
It's only an issue because PSG's not on that list.
Right.
How the hell do they spend so much?
Because they make their money back so fast. As a matter of fact, the first day after Messi signed, the club made $70 million. Insane.
On jersey sales. Yes. Did you see what happened with their jerseys? 10 minutes it lasted.
Yes.
Jersey sales lasted 10 minutes.
I mean, that's how PSG makes their money back. That's why they're not. They bring in these names and people go crazy. They just go. I mean, it's not just in France. PSG is world. No, it's world renowned team. Everyone from every corner of the world
knows who they are. But think about what they did branding wise too.
Oh yeah.
Everybody goes with Nike, Adidas, Puma. Who do they go with? You know who makes their shirt?
No, who makes their shirt?
Jordan.
Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So imagine that. Now they just put a brand. They went with a brand that is also known worldwide because of who it's from.
I remember one time reading that they did a survey worldwide. The three most iconic things. One was the Catholic cross. Two was the McDonald's arches, and three was Michael Jordan.
Yeah. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. They always used to say, you know, when it comes to the all-time GOAT athletes, right? Greatest of all time, Michael Jordan or Lionel Messi. And one guy came out after the PSG signed Messi, and he said, well, it looks like Messi is going to be wearing Michael Jordan's brand. So it's obviously Michael Jordan.
Right.
I just thought that was a little funny humor. Yeah, all these teams in debt. And I mean, listen, it's a shame. We saw what happened in Barcelona. Can't re-sign Messi. You're having your captains take pay cuts just so you could register your other players in time for the season.
It's sad. It's sad.
Come on.
It's sad.
What has football become?
I don't know. Listen, I would do it for just pay the mortgage on my house. I'll go play. I don't care. Anyways, so let's get back to...
But just to counter that point, right? If Messi wanted to play for Barcelona for free, he couldn't have because of the rules that the league has set up.
So, right.
That's BS in my opinion.
Right. It's insane. And that's a big problem too, right? Because now we're going backwards. They've lost a ton of money. And I mean, by La Liga for him to leave.
Right. They have.
They should have allowed him to stay and reap benefits of it. But what are you going to do?
Well, Barcelona seemed like they were just fine without him. However,
they did fine without him. This weekend.
Let's take a quick little anchor break and then we'll do a deep dive into all the games this past weekend. All right. And we're back. So let's touch up on all the leagues and games this past weekend.
Let's do it.
So for starters, I got to bring it up. You still think Arsenal's going to win the whole damn thing?
Maybe.
You're out of your mind.
All right, listen.
They played
Brentford. They lost 2-0. They got bullied the whole game from the beginning of the whistle to the end. They were bullied by Brentford.
Remember my prediction. I had predicted 2-0. It's on 2-1.
Two to one. Listen, you're right.
It's on our Instagram. You guys can go see it. I had a feeling Brentford was going to win this thing.
But to Arsenal's defense, they had a couple of players that were out. I don't know if it would have made a tremendous amount of difference just because of the way they just got bullied. I mean, they got bullied around. That's the word for that game. There's nothing else I can say to explain it.
In 90 minutes, Brentford had 35% possession and 3 shots on target.
Right.
And they won the game.
The second goal is a little questionable.
Yes, I will agree with you.
Regardless, if they scored 1 or 2, they still would have lost. You know, so.
What do you mean 1 or 2? Arsenal would have tied if they scored 2.
How's that? If they lost 2-0.
2-2 would be a tie, Anthony.
No, I'm saying if Brentford only scored 1 goal, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Oh, I thought you were saying Arsenal had scored 2. Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
Yeah,
My fault.
Yeah, no worries. We'll let that one go for today. Write that one down for next time.
The one and only time Anthony's going to be right, just so you all know.
But other than that, you know, still an exciting game for Brentford. It wasn't boring. There was, you know, you just watch these guys who came up, their owner was a professional gambler, bought the team for $700,000, turned him into, he's a Moneyball guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it was exciting.
Explain Moneyball for the people listening, because not everybody might know. This was a new concept for me.
So this guy comes in and he is getting players by their stats and seeing what they're going to do next, and brings them in for a low amount of dollars. And these guys perform. And you can tell, you could see by them coming up to the Premier League. We'll see what happens throughout the season, because, you know, now he's playing, they're playing with the big boys. So
here's my prediction. Brentford's going to finish top 10.
Well, that's not just you. There's a lot of people out there that are saying that these guys are not getting relegated anytime soon. So,
well, I mean, if their owner's still gambling, they might get regulated.
No,
definitely not relegated.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't know if Arsenal's going to come close to first place if they continue to play like this against teams.
I mean, let's remember, though, they also had no Aubameyang, no Lacazette, no Partey. Like, right.
And there are some rumors out there that they're looking at some pieces to fill before the 31st, but we'll see what happens.
Listen, all I'm saying is 65 mil for, what was his name? Ben White?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben White. Hold on. To his defense, it's his first game on the team, trying to settle in. We'll see how he is. Talk to me in 5-6 weeks. Let's see how he does. What do you got? Who are you excited to talk about today?
I mean, it's no surprise, but I really enjoyed the Man United game.
Oh.
Manchester United is on a mission this season. And I'm going to be honest, when we gave our predictions, I wanted to put them at second. I really, really wanted to. But I said to myself, there's no way that with the extra competitions this year, they're going to be able to sustain that. And then this weekend reminded me, there is one reason that they might be able to sustain what they're doing, and it's Bruno Fernandes. This guy's a monster. Did you see the 3 goals that he scored?
I did see the 3 goals that he scored. But
if anybody didn't see him, the highlights are on our Instagram. Go check them out.
But Bruno Fernandes is a monster, but he's not he wouldn't be a monster with Dr. Jekyll, and that's Pogba.
Pogba 4 assists. He tied the record for the most assists in a game those lines.
No, I think he broke the record. Did he not?
Either broke or tied. We got to check into that. But they were a machine. They were so in sync. They knew what they were doing.
Which it was incredible to see how in sync they were. Those 4 assists were so pinpoint accurate. That's something you see mid-season form. You know what I mean?
Right. Granted, they played Leeds, but I didn't think Leeds was a team to lose 5-1 to Manchester United. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't think they were going to win the game. I thought Manchester United was going to beat Leeds for sure. But to lose 5-1, I was like, my God.
But let's talk about the one goal from Leeds. Did you see that shot Ayling took?
Yes.
Oh my God, it was beautiful.
Ayling's a good player. That's what I'm saying. Leeds isn't a bad team. They're not good enough to come in the top 10, but I think they're good enough to not get relegated.
Right.
But I just didn't expect 5-1.
But they're good enough to knock around teams, even maybe Manchester United.
Listen, you know something is working in Manchester United when even Fred is scoring.
Right.
All right. Come on. Greenwood obviously got his goal in. I mean, the team is just coming together real well. And I hate that I didn't put them in the finishing second, because I really think they're going to prove me wrong and exceed expectations this year. But yeah, Manchester United, hell of a game to watch. If anybody didn't see it, I recommend you go back and watch it. Next, we had Leicester versus Wolves. All right. Old Reliable came through for Leicester. Jamie Vardy sealed the game. I don't know.
I didn't watch that game, so I can't even comment on it.
I feel like it was a game that could have gone either way. Leicester is a little bit better than the Wolves, but like I said, if they had tied or if Wolves had won 1-0, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Right.
It wasn't one of those things to me where I was like, oh, Leicester deserved this one.
Right, right. You know, then you had two other ones I wanted to talk about were the Chelsea Crystal Palace and Tottenham and Manchester City. So you pick which one you want to talk about next.
Well, we could talk about all of them, but Chelsea Crystal Palace, let's start off with that one because the Tottenham Manchester happened on Sunday, I believe.
Yeah.
The Chelsea Crystal Palace was on Saturday. Look, Chelsea, like we were talking about Manchester United, they're a machine.
Everything's
functioning properly. Alonso scored, Pulisic scored, and then Chalobah scored.
They're going to be a team that everyone's going to have to look up to from high above on the table rankings. They're going to be, they are a powerhouse, especially now that they're getting Lukaku.
And I agree with you there, but this is where we were talking about, you know, the quality and the intensity of the Premier League. Chelsea, United, City. Now I might even have to throw Tottenham in that conversation, okay? And you and I always forget to talk about Liverpool.
We do. We do always forget to talk
about Liverpool. Liverpool could win this whole thing this year again.
You're right. We do always forget to talk about Liverpool.
That's five teams right there that are so, in my eyes, above everybody else, but so close in quality to one another that that's what makes things interesting. Like, could you imagine? So Liverpool, same thing, beat Norwich City 3-0.
Right.
We could say, who's Norwich City? Is what it is. But
well, we're not talking about Norwich, Connecticut, right?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
But Norwich City deserves to lose that game to Liverpool. But Liverpool proved their worth in that game just as much as Chelsea, Manchester United.
Right.
Let's just go over the scores, but we'll talk in depth about the Tottenham game. We also had Watford playing Aston Villa, 3-2 for Watford. Everton played Southampton, 3-1 for Everton. Burnley against Brighton. Brighton ended up winning that game 2-1. And then we had West Ham against Newcastle, and West Ham won that game 4-2. And then we go to Tottenham versus Man City.
What a game. You owe me a beer.
Tottenham, Man City. First of all, let me explain to you guys the struggle I went through to try and watch his game. I don't have cable, so I just stream. I could have called you.
You could have called me.
I could have called you. However, I ended up signing up for Sling TV. Because that's how bad.
Wait a minute. Didn't I give you...
Yeah. I didn't see it in time, okay? So, I ended up signing up for Sling TV.
Cancel it.
just so I could watch Tottenham Man City. Because I said, in the first week, this has got to be one of the more exciting games to watch. And I wasn't wrong. I don't think anybody was wrong. We all expected this to be a good game. Tactical masterclass. On Tottenham's part, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, another fun fact about this game is that Man City's never won at Tottenham.
Right. So for Pep Guardiola calling Tottenham the Harry Kane club, it's funny that he always loses to them without Harry Kane.
That's funny too.
That is funny. What were the fans chanting in the crowd?
I believe it was, "Are you watching Harry Kane? Because he was in his in the luxury box watching down.
I think the Tottenham fans are over and done with him.
They're done. And, you know, this goes, like I said before, this game just helped Harry Kane. Because if Tottenham loses 3-0, they're going to go, oh, we need him, so we can't let him go. But Manchester loses 1-0. Now Pep's going, we need to bring this guy in. It doesn't matter how much they ask for him. So...
we'll see if it happens. I still don't think it will. I mean, they just spent so much on Grealish, which there's no other way, in my opinion, to put Grealish's first appearance for Man City into better terms, but a flop.
Yeah.
Flop for the team, but he's just on, his ass is on the grass, it seems like.
He drew five fouls.
I'm convinced this guy is just good at selling falling down.
Maybe she go work for the WWE because that's what those guys do. When they throw a punch, they got to sell like it's the hardest hit in the world.
Unbelievable. I mean, I wasn't impressed. And obviously, Grealish needs time to gel with the team. But I wasn't
just
impressed.
Just like Ben White over at Arsenal. Yeah.
Manchester City's got a better shot this year than Arsenal ever will. I don't know. I wasn't impressed. I was expecting to see a lot more from Grealish than what we did see. And the beauty of it again, I love when I see numbers like this. Tottenham only had 34% possession, okay, compared to Manchester City 66. So what does that tell you?
It tells me this. I'm going to butcher this poor kid's name. Tang Anga. He is the Academy graduate. I believe he's the right back for Tottenham. He was on fire. He did not let them get by him at all.
I wouldn't go that far. But listen, Manchester City was having their opportunities. They just couldn't get anything on target. But they created opportunities. They just weren't good ones.
Right. Maybe this kid was stopping their flow.
It has nothing to do with the kid. I'm telling you, what this has to get down to is the organization of Nuno Santo. Okay? This is a team that's now going to know how to sit back, absorb the pressure. Yes,
absolutely.
Okay. But let me finish. They're going to absorb the pressure and capitalize at the right time.
Right.
Just like Son did.
But not only capitalize, but when they do capitalize, he's showing them how to play that Portuguese style defense as well. They score that one goal and boom.
Right.
You know,
I hate to go back to the Euro Cup for the English fans, but it's like what England tried to do against Italy, right? That is a tactic. And if done right, it is very successful, but you have to be prepared to do it.
Right.
You have to be fit, right? Endurance is a big part of being able that style of game, but also you need that mental endurance.
Yeah.
Because at times it may seem like, what am I doing out here? Right?
Yeah.
You're not doing what you've expected to be doing forever, which is creating, scoring goals. You're absorbing pressure all the time. And you have to adapt to that. And I think we saw Nuno Santo do a good job getting his team prepared for that against Man City.
Right.
Very impressed with that. However, whether it's Harry Kane or not, I think you're right. Manchester City does need a...
They need a striker.
They need a striker.
They do.
Mahrez and Sterling can't do it on their own. No. It's like, you know, when I look at a Napoli, right? And I'm not saying Napoli is anywhere close to Manchester City people. It's just my favorite team, so I can relate to them. But when you have an Insigne and a Caleon on the outside at Napoli, right? That were taking on defenders one-on-one, beating them, getting the ball into the box. But then you have a guy like Manolo Gagliardini or Arkadiusz Milik. They can't finish the ball.
Right.
So it's like all that work goes to waste.
Sure.
But then remember the second season, it was either the second or the third, where Sarri came in and Gonzalo Higuain was our striker.
Yeah.
Higuain ended up scoring, what, 36 goals?
No, well, you're going way back. I was thinking you were going to touch on what happened in the last four games when Osimhen came back.
Osimhen is great, but he has to prove himself this year. I'm just talking about the difference when you had such great wings, right? For Napoli and Insigne and Caleon, and you had a striker that was capable of producing in Gonzalo Higuain. So Manchester City is there, the entire team. They just need that forward. And I don't think Gabriel Jesus is the guy for them. I don't even think Torres is the guy for them. They really need that number nine, that poacher that just put the ball in front of my foot and it's going into the back of the net every time.
Harry Kane.
And I hate to agree with you there. I just don't want to see him at Man City. But yeah, that is the type of guy that they need. They need a Harry Kane style striker.
I still think that even if they get Harry Kane, I don't think they're as good as Chelsea.
I don't know how to answer that one.
I don't know.
We'll have to see. Listen, we'll see. It's only week one. We still got a long way to go. But EPL is exciting. Bundesliga, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch much this weekend.
There was a few games on.
Well, they played all of them.
I think Haaland played a few minutes of one game. He didn't play a whole game.
So I saw the highlights from the Dortmund game, and Haaland is still a freak of nature, okay? Two goals.
You see the way this kid runs when he runs in the field, when he's a full-out sprint? It looks like his hair is on fire the way he's running.
It's scary.
Yeah.
The way he runs is scary.
I would hate to be the poor guy.
Defending him. Don't get in front of his way. But yeah, so Haaland, two goals. Reyna, which I was excited about this one, but Reyna with a goal. Hazard with a goal. And I think little Hazard is proven to be better at the moment than his older brother.
Right.
So then Marco Reus obviously opened up the scoring for Dortmund. And Frankfurt put in two, but obviously amounts to nothing. Then in the Bundesliga, so this was actually very interesting. Bayern tied with Gladbach. And this is what we were talking about before. In the Premier League, there were no ties on match day one because everybody plays for the win, right? It's that intense.
Right.
You're playing for the win.
Right.
No ties. In the Bundesliga alone, I think they ended up having three ties. Yeah, they ended up having three ties. Bayern and Gladbach, Leverkusen and Union Berlin, Freiburg and Armenia, and that was it. The quality. The quality just isn't there in these leagues. And that's why I get so pissed when people talk about Bayern being one of the better teams. They play nobody year round.
Right.
Absolutely nobody. And then they had the nerve, which I like Gladbach. Gladbach's a good team in my eyes. But you go on and tie Gladbach in your first game back. Come on. Get it.
Exactly.
But that was the Bundesliga. Moving over to La Liga. La Liga, this one surprised me even more. We were talking about ties in the Bundesliga. La Liga ended up having, what, five ties? Mallorca and Real Betis, 1-1. Cadiz and Levante, 1-1. Osasuna and Espanyol, 0-0. Villarreal and Granada, 0-0. And then Elche and Athletic Club, 0-0. Five ties in La Liga. Disgusting.
That is incredible.
Yeah. However, the biggest takeaways is the bigs are back. Real Madrid.
4-1.
4-1, right? That was impressive. Not impressive. I mean, granted, they were supposed to win the entire time. But Benzema's still on fire. That's what I'm talking about being impressive. Because Benzema...
He's always on fire.
He receives a lot of criticism too, though.
He does. It might be unfair criticism, but he gets it.
And I agree that it may be unfair. But, you know, Benzema with the two goals. And then one of my favorites scored at the very end, the fourth goal. Vinicius Jr.
Okay.
Which I think this is a player that doesn't get enough credit. And if given the time and opportunity, he's going to come into his own and he's going to be a big part of this Real Madrid future. It's just so crazy to see Ancelotti back at Real Madrid.
Does nobody want him at Serie A?
It's not that nobody wants him. Ancelotti has become a manager, not a coach. Serie A teams need a coach.
Right.
They need somebody to teach them.
Yeah.
Ancelotti has become the guy that says, give me talent and I'll find a way to put them together.
Right.
So it's very different from what he was once doing with AC Milan back in the day. And it'll work for Real Madrid. It works for a Bayern Munich. It works for a top team in the Prem. It's not going to work in Serie A with like a Napoli or even a Roma. Like Ancelotti wouldn't have been good for the Roma project. You need a guy like Mourinho, a tactician.
Right.
You know? And then Barcelona.
You know what Barcelona said?
What did they say?
Messi who?
Yeah, I don't think they said that. They're obviously going to miss the guy. However, let's be real. They played Sociedad. They didn't play anybody that crazy.
But still, 4-2, it's pretty nice.
But PK scored. This one was my favorite. So Martin Braithwaite scored two. Okay? Which, when Barcelona signed him, what was it, last year or 2 years ago? I don't even remember exactly. Everybody was like, Martin who? Who did we just sign? And then this guy ends up scoring two goals opening day after Messi leaves, which was phenomenal. And then obviously one of their better players, Sergi Roberto.
Right.
Young player. Remember we were talking about him in the Euro Cup playing for Spain?
Yep.
I think Roberto's got ton of promise, and I'm happy that he scored on opening day too. There was actually an interesting fact. I forget who it was that assisted PK's goal. Do you remember? I think it was Depay that assisted PK's goal. And the whole storyline behind it was that PK had to take a pay cut in order for Barcelona to be able to register.
Depay.
Right.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah. And Depay kind of repaid him in a way by assisting his goal, the first goal of the game. I thought that was a nice little story.
Yeah, that was nice. And then Sevilla won 3-0.
Right. Which Sevilla, I think, could be another top team. We actually still got to give our predictions for La Liga.
Yeah.
We'll do that on our next episode. Look, La Liga went pretty standard to what you expect everything to happen happened. You know, they got those three or four big teams that ended up winning. You got your Atletico Madrid, 1-2-1 against Celta Vigo. Real Madrid, 4-1 against Alaves. Barcelona, 4-2 against Real Sociedad. And then Sevilla, 3-0 against Vallecano. So... other than that, I didn't see anything surprising. The ties are surprising, but it's also La Liga. Right. It happens. And moving on to our last league that we're covering, who is actually now in week two.
And week two, they had three ties. So
let's see how Serie A does.
Well, listen, Serie A, I mean, it's just, we already know how Italian soccer is. Let's go for the tie. We'll get the point, and we'll worry about it later on.
Which I'm getting tired of seeing.
Me too.
I always used to say there's a beauty in the tie. you know, like a lot of people say, how are you a fan of soccer, you know, when a game ends 0-0 or 1-1?
Right.
And I was like, there's a beauty behind it. And I still do think there is a beauty behind it, because if you play smart, if you're, you know, you have a goal and objective, and a tie will get you that.
That's fine.
But we got to step it up a little
bit.
Like
you said before, it's the opening week. No one should be tying.
Right. Everybody should be going
exactly.
PSG, obviously, 4-2.
Yep.
Icardi looks really good over there.
He had probably my favorite goal of that week of games. That header right over the goalie's fingertips. It was beautiful.
Listen, Icardi's on a mission. You got to remember, he got kicked away from Inter Milan a few years back when Spalletti was coaching, went to PSG, and now they bring in Messi. They're talking about Icardi possibly losing his spot. Here he is. You know, he scored match day one, and he scored again on match day two.
Right.
So
he's got a point to prove.
I think so. And I think Icardi's going to mesh well, because Icardi has always held himself to be greater than he actually is. So right. I think with all this surplus of talent, he's going to fit in.
Sure.
Did you see Lille?
I know they won.
No, they didn't.
They didn't win. What am I thinking of?
They lost 4-0 to Nice.
Did they?
Yeah.
That was a Saturday game, right?
Yes, it was a Saturday game. That was the one. It was played on the 14th.
Okay, yeah. But
listen, Lille, after 2 weeks, are in relegation zone. That's what happens when you win the league and have a fire sale.
Hold on a second. Didn't Lille make a bunch of moves for defenders? Didn't they make a bunch of transfers and brought in a bunch of defenders? Or am I thinking of someone else?
No, it might have been Lille. I don't remember the exact specifics, but I will say this. Lille also offloaded a majority of their players.
Right, I remember that. I was comparing them to the Florida Marlins after they won the World Series. They offloaded everybody.
Everybody. So we'll see if that was a smart move and if it'll pay out. But they probably had to balance the books. I still can't believe. We don't know much about him, so we're going to research him for you guys next time. But Clermont Foot in second place.
That sounds like a public school from New York with a bunch of kids from the playground. Clermont Foot 63.
But the crazy part is they're not even playing bad, Anthony.
Like, yeah.
Just from reading their stats and highlights, and for everybody listening, they're not playing bad. They beat Bordeaux on match day one.
2-0 right now.
Right. You know, maybe there's something going on in that organization that we don't know about. They might be somebody to watch in League One. Unfortunately for me, League One minus one or two teams like a PSG, a Marseille, or a Nice, it's hard to watch because you know that league is what it is. The bigs are expected to win, and that's it.
Well, they have a Mendy on their team. I'm wondering if that's Mendy from the national team, the defender. I don't think so, though. There's a few Mendys that are playing.
Talking about Clermont?
Yeah.
First of all, Mendy's is like the last name Smith.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's a few of them that are playing throughout.
There was a meme going around last season in the Champions League, and it was when it was in the semifinals. And they're like, oh, we think Mendy is going to win the Champions League. And that's because each team had a Mendy on the team.
Right.
How crazy is that? No, it's not the same Mendy that you're thinking of.
And look at this. Also, too, just want to point out to some of our listeners that are Mets fans, even the Mets in Ligue 1 lost. I think they are 0-2 right now. So it must be something in the name.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. All right. As a real-life Mets fan, not the French Mets, but the New York Mets, it's been a miserable 2 months.
Hasn't it been a miserable like 30 years?
All right, I don't want to hear it. Before we get too carried away and out of soccer talk, guys, if you haven't already, please go follow us on Instagram. Share with us your thoughts, comments, anything you want to hear us cover or talk about. And if you could subscribe to our podcast, it'd help us out and we'd greatly appreciate it.
And give us some ratings.
Absolutely. We're open to all and any feedback. But this concludes today's episode of Save FC. Thank you for tuning in and we'll catch you next week.
See you later.